It's Tuesday, August 16th, 2016. Dynasty Football Factory once again presents the Fantasy Flex, featuring Brad Wallace and the Roto Dad Nate Miller. As always, you can hit up the show over on Twitter at Fantasy Flex Pod. On this edition, we'll be joined by USA Today Fantasy Sports Editor Steve Gardner, as well as the Fantasy Executive from Scout Fantasy, Corey Parson. Stay tuned.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Fantasy Flex. I am Nate, over on Twitter, at @Miller_RotoDad. How can the people connect with you, Brad Wallace?
They can find me at UGA Good on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat.
All right, man. Well, you know what? We've had some preseason, I guess, week one. Some of these games, people paying a lot of attention. I, myself, I think would rather eat a peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwich than watch preseason football. But that's why I have a co-host, Brad Wallace, who's a regular football nerd. Brad, give us some highlights and maybe some disappointments from these first few preseason games as you see it.
Out of the Seahawks, Christian Michael, surprisingly, had 7 carries for 44 yards. That's a 6.3 yard per carry average. And he had a long run, about 16 yards. Looking pretty good with Rawls, you know, very questionable with coming back off an ankle injury. And a CJ Pro size really looking at like more of that third down, you know, pass catching back. Christian Michael could be that starting running back for the Seahawks come, you know, week one this season.
Uh-oh, look out. I think that would make a lot of people unhappy, especially the people that have already drafted Rawls in some early drafts and process. Yeah, who knows? I mean, that backfield getting pretty crowded. Who disappointed?
Well, Amari Cooper, honestly, he struggled with drops last season. I think he had 18, and he had a big drop on one of Oakland's, you know, long passes down the field. They came out flinging the ball in their preseason game, and just not really inspiring much confidence in his ability to, you know, improve on those, you know, drop passes. So Amari Cooper's my guy that disappointed a little bit.
Let's get down to some business now. Talk draft strategy with a man we're definitely pumped to have joining us this morning. USA Today Senior Fantasy Editor Steve Gardner. How you doing, man?
Hey, Nate, Brad, how are you guys?
No complaints from us.
Doing excellent. Well.
Football season is getting rolling, so you guys are in your element, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and especially down here in Atlanta. I'm a Brad's a lukewarm baseball fan, but I myself being a MLB fantasy analyst and a DFS guru. Well, I like to fancy myself that for over at Sporting News. My Atlanta Braves, I'm ready to move on to football season.
I hear you. I hear you. Although, I'll tell you, the Braves are doing some nice things, and the young players that they've got, especially the pitching that they've got in the minor leagues, is encouraging at least. So you've got that to look forward to next year and in the future.
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic, but for fear of boring Brad out of his football shoes, let's get to a draft you did with some experts recently, Steve, the Fantasy League of Experts draft. Tell us how you feel about your draft and how that went down. I believe you're picking 8th overall, and you went with David Johnson, running back of the Cardinals, first round. In this wide receiver madness.
Yep, and then that's the thing. I think one of the things, the takeaways from our draft, it's a PPR draft, so wide receivers, and we start 3 wide receivers and 2 flex spots. So that gives you kind of the idea of what we were faced with when we were making our choices. It just seemed like even then, wide receivers were just so popular and everybody was jumping all over them. We had Todd Gurley was taken number 2 overall, but other than that, of the first 7 picks, 6 of them were wide receivers, and that's where David Johnson fell to me. And, you know, rather than go Allen Robinson or Mike Evans at number 8 overall, which seemed a little high to me, I went ahead and took Johnson, a guy who's going to catch some passes, I think, out of the backfield. He's not proven, but what we saw of him last year, you can't help but like. And so that's where I was going with that number 1 pick. And things sort of stem from there. I had to take a couple of wide receivers. I think in general for my draft, it's one of those where you play to win, and you don't play for second place or third place or finishing in the money. So I drafted some guys that were a little bit injured, have some injury issues, and but yet, because we drafted so early, you know, as you guys were saying, injuries pop up and they can heal. By the time we get around to week one, it's going to look a lot different, and I think I'm going to like my team a lot better once we get to, you know, the opening week of the season than maybe most people do at this point.
Yeah, you talk about that proverbial high-risk, high-reward selection, and your second-round guy, Jordy Nelson, kind of fits that bill, lost last season due to injury, unfortunately. And I actually think I'm confident in the rebound from him working with Aaron Rodgers. Brad, you like Jordy Nelson, as Steve does, in the second round?
Oh, yeah. I was very high on Jordy Nelson until he had this minor, you know, knee issue in his opposite knee from the ACL, and I've been a little hesitant to take him in some drafts, but probably there's enough time that he should be fine and good to go come week one. And if he's full go, you know, 100%, Jordy Nelson is going to have a monster bounce back season coming off that ACL last season.
Okay, Steve, is that that injury there from Nelson scare you a little bit? And maybe what's your ceiling for Nelson in the 2016 season?
Well, it makes me a little bit cautious, but, you know, as you said, it's the other knee. So, you know, we're not in danger of having maybe another tear of the ACL in the same spot or anything like that. It seems like, you know, if one knee is good, then maybe he's favoring that, you know, or something like that that may have contributed to it. But, again, I think his ceiling is huge. I mean, he's a definite red zone target. He's had double-digit touchdowns two of the last 4 years that he's been healthy. And, you know, he was peaking, had almost 100 catches, over 1,500 yards back in 2014. So he worked so well with Aaron Rodgers. And that Packers offense it looked completely different last year without Nelson there. So, yeah, I guess from an age standpoint, he is 31, so that may be cause for concern, especially with the injuries. But he's so good, and Aaron Rodgers, he's so good as well. I think this is a team that can certainly bounce back offensively, and I like that combo. I was hoping that Rodgers would fall to me later in the draft, and I could get them both on my team, but that didn't work out. Still, I'm very happy with Nelson.
Well, being 31 years old myself, I feel great if it's worth anything to you, Steve.
Perfect. if we had 17 rounds, I think I might have taken you with my last pick.
You're going to lose. Me and my 5'6" 40, we'll try to help you out.
The Roto Dad was some real sleeper potential this year.
Okay, Steve, I got to say, and you alluded to this, if your receivers stay healthy, I like your team. That's a big if, you know. Mm-hmm. And coming back around in the third round, you took Sammy Watkins, and he's now got a big money quarterback and Tyrod Taylor throwing the ball. Who thought we would have said that last year? Brad, you liking Sammy Watkins?
Not as much as before the injury, obviously. Sammy Watkins comes in at number 14 in my wide receiver rankings. Depending on what round he falls to, if his ADP drops a little bit, I might have some stock in Sammy Watkins this year. But I don't see that happening. It hasn't happened in either of the drafts I've been in or any of the mocks. Somebody is always reaching and taking him a little sooner than I feel comfortable taking him. So probably not going to have Sammy Watkins on many of my rosters this year.
You know what, though, guys? He was number 20. He was the 20th wide receiver off the board in the third round, you know, midway through the third round. So that's kind of what the market was like when we were drafting. It's like, you know, he's gone. You know, Kelvin Benjamin's gone in the third round. Demaryius Thomas is gone. Jarvis Landry's gone. Randall Cobb is gone. They were going fast and furious. If you were going to get a wide receiver, you had to jump in and maybe reach a little bit. So that kind of explains a little bit why I went after Watkins there.
I would like Watkins more if I took, you know, maybe even started wide receiver the first two rounds, and he's, you know, sitting as my number two, number three guy. I'd feel more comfortable with him. But, the scenario in your draft, I think you got decent value with how fast the wide receivers were going off in this PPR format.
Yeah, and that wide receiver madness, I definitely like that value on a Sammy Watkins, Steve. I think you did a good job there because, I mean, the ceiling up against where you grabbed him at, Yeah, I like that pick. I also love the value because people are down on another aging running back that just left Chicago, a long career there with the Bears, and went to the Jets. Matt Forte, especially in this PPR format, Steve, I'm loving that fourth-round value as an RB2. He could really light it up in a PPR league. Is that kind of how you saw it?
I'm hoping so. And Forte's always been a favorite of mine, you know, for several years. I love the fact that he can run the ball, that he can catch the ball out of the backfield. The Jets, though, the one thing I was hoping to do that I just missed out on is getting Bilal Powell as kind of like the co-back there in the Jets backfield. I won't say handcuffed, but because they're kind of different players, but both catch passes really well out of the backfield. And I was hoping to be able to double those guys up. But still, Forte, I think, will get goal line carries when we get in close. And plus, he's an effective receiver. You know, all those catches out of the backfield, he certainly can do that. And again, as you said, you know, PPR format, full point PPR, I think the Jets are going to have a pretty – I think that they're going to tilt kind of heavily toward the passing game, and Forte is going to be a big part of it.
Yeah, I agree with Fitzpatrick there. And, yeah, Forte, I've made this assertion earlier this offseason. I think he's going to be third in targets on that team. And in that scenario, in a PPR, I think he's got big value. I mean, he's got fringe RB1 value in that type of league. Now, Steve, I want to drop it down a little bit in your draft. You filled out in your fifth and sixth rounds with Allen Hurns and Michael Crabtree, really building the wide receiver depth. But in the seventh round, injured tight end Tyler Eifert. Now, who knows when he might actually start his season. I personally think his week one and maybe week two is in jeopardy. But you're willing to jump in the seventh round and maybe take a guy who will – possibly miss the first two or three weeks. What do you think Eifert can do maybe on a per-game basis? Because that's what I'm thinking you probably had in mind taking him.
Indeed, and the fact that he's a big red zone target there in Cincinnati. I mean, he had a fantastic year going until the injury last year. I mean, I think he may have been not Gronk level, but just a bit below that, and sure. I had him on a couple of teams and was very happy. So maybe a little bit of familiarity there, but the big plays, the ability to make catches in traffic, to catch passes in the red zone, I understand the injury again, but this is one of those situations where I thought the value was pretty good. We can start a tight end at a flex as well. So later on, a few rounds after that, I picked Julius Thomas, who I thought was pretty good value there. And so I can start Thomas for the first few weeks of the season. Hopefully, you know, it gives Eifert enough time to get completely healthy. And by midseason, I mean, that's the one thing, guys, that I think a lot of times people lose a little bit of, the long-term view of things. It's not so much you don't have to have the best team overall over the course of the season. You know, it's not like the baseball rotisserie format where stats in the first week of the season count just the same as stats at the end of the season. We're going to have playoffs, and you want to have your best team on the field at the end of the year. You want to be peaking. And I think Eifert will be able to do that. And, you know, if I can weather the storm for the first few weeks, then I'll be in pretty good shape.
Sure. I know Brad likes A.J. Green a lot up there. I myself actually like the rookie Tyler Boyd. But, Brad, can Eifert get to double-digit touchdowns again if he only plays 12 or 13 games?
I think he has a chance to. It's just going to be difficult, being that he's not going to play all 16 games. I have Eifert coming in at number 9 in my tight end rankings, so he's just inside my top 10. I think the value you got on him is pretty good, and then you backed him up with Thomas to get you through the first 4 weeks. So I think it's a good strategy. I think he's going to be a very effective tight end the second half of the season for sure. So double-digit touchdowns might be a stretch, but he's going to get close for sure.
Because 13 and 13 games last year. That's the kind of production I'm looking at.
Hey, there you go.
And, Andy Dalton loves throwing to him in the red zone. So.
Yeah, we haven't touched on the quarterback position here, Steve, and I personally love what you were able to do because I'm big on Derek Carr, I believe I see down there, and you got him way late in the eighth round. You grabbed Tom Brady, obviously going to be out there first four games, but, man, I'm loving that Tom waiting on Tom Brady the first month, letting Derek Carr go to work. I think you might have a choice to make once Tom Brady gets back on which one you're going to start. I'm loving that quarterback situation.
It could be. I would love to be able to have to make a tough call there. But, you know, Brady, obviously we know he loves to throw the ball. He's got Gronkowski in the red zone. They hook up all the time. And are great at that. So last year, Brady was, I believe, the number two quarterback in all of fantasy behind Cam Newton. And the fact that he threw more touchdown passes than anybody else, that's what I'm looking at. The per-game basis for Brady, that's the kind of production I want. And then to get Carr, that was one of the things. It seemed like everybody was waiting on quarterbacks in this draft. And I took Derek Carr even before, I think, three teams had drafted their starters. So a 13th round, I believe, is when I got Carr. And the reason is, I think for anybody who is considering, you know, going the Brady route and taking the first 4 weeks and taking your lumps, I don't think you necessarily have to sell out for bad quarterback play, because there are a couple of guys whose schedules are pretty decent. I look at Carr's schedule at New Orleans in week one. That looks like a pretty good situation. He plays against Atlanta at home, is at Tennessee, and at Baltimore. Not bad. I mean, those teams in terms of scoring defense ranked 32nd, 14th, 27th, and 24th last year. So, yeah, and yeah, there's some turnover. But still, I think Carr's got a really nice first 4 weeks, so we can take that and probably build on it, even if, you know, maybe break even. I think that's what people that are looking at, the guys like Le'Veon Bell, you know, who are going to miss time at the beginning of the season, or Brady, if you could just break even while those big guns are out, then you've got the team. Again, you're looking to peak at the end of the season, not in week one or two.
Yeah, sure. And Brad, I know you like that waiting on Tom Brady, you know, drafting him in kind of the 8th, 9th, 10th round, maybe, if you can, and then waiting on him to the next month. Can he be an elite quarterback the rest of the way? I'm pretty sure I know your answer.
Oh, most definitely. And then Carr is one of those quarterbacks that I would be targeting, along with either maybe a Joe Flacco, Eli Manning, Romo, even Kirk Cousins, that will have, you know, they have really easy schedules those first four games. So great compliments to start while Tom Brady is suspended.
Yeah, I think Steve's got a couple of trade chips and maybe some difficult decisions to make down the road in this league. All right, Steve, let's go across everybody that participated in this draft. Maybe off the top of your head here, who do you think was the biggest reach of this draft?
Reach. I think there was one. I do remember there was one. Gosh. I remember scratching my head, and now I'm looking at the draft board and trying to figure out who it was. I don't know that it was running back. It was, oh, I think it was Torrey Smith was the one that really made me scratch my head. Torrey Smith in the 5th round.
Sure.
That was one. That was exactly the one. Early in the 5th round, 3rd pick of the 5th round, that was the one that kind of I had to go down on my cheat sheet now that I remember about the draft to say, wow, wait a minute. Is he going that far with, you know, with the way that San Francisco's passing game? Yeah, I understand Chip Kelly gets a lot of yards and accumulates a lot of stuff. But to have Torrey Smith there in the 5th round, I thought that was probably the biggest reach of the draft.
Yeah, Brad and I both talked about how we actually like Torrey Smith. I mean, even with the QB situation, Smith is a game breaker with big-time speed. And even though he only caught, what was this, somewhat 30-some-odd passes last season, it's the yards per catch was still there. But, yeah, in the 5th round, that's getting too rich for my blood. What do you say, Brad?
Yeah, that's definitely a little too soon. I'm looking at the guy's roster, and he took Odell Beckham Jr. first and followed it up with 3 running backs. So maybe he was trying to take some upside guys as he followed up with Jackson, then Kamar Aiken after that in the 7th, Benjamin and Wright in the following round. So maybe that's kind of the strategy he was implementing. But, yeah, Torrey Smith that early is a little bit of a reach, and I'm high on Torrey Smith. So.
I'll tell you guys, that was Eric Young, the WWE wrestler who was kind of like the celebrity for this draft. And I wasn't going to tell that to him to his face or anything like that. You know, I tried my best to make friends with him. He seems like a very nice guy. But, you know, don't let the word get out too far through social media or anything, all right, guys?
Don't want to get choke slammed.
Yeah, he tripled up on the running backs, and as you mentioned, you got a couple flex spots in this league. So, I mean, interesting strategy, and yeah, Torrey Smith, you're definitely going high risk, high reward there. All right, Steve, one more here. Tell us who you think was the single biggest steal, maybe highest value of this draft.
I think in general, a lot of the quarterbacks, and maybe that's just because of the way that our industry leagues value quarterbacks. It seems like everybody wants to wait and wait and wait. Cam Newton was the first quarterback taken in round 6. So, I mean, that's kind of the value. If you get down to guys like, Philip Rivers and Kirk Cousins and Eli Manning, and you're getting all those guys after round 10, I think that's pretty good value for all of those. In terms of other, the kinds of players, the skill players, that's what everybody wants to see, I think. They want to know who are the running backs and who are the wide receivers that went late that were good values. I think, Tyler Boyd, you talked about him. Yep. I think that was a pretty good pick in round 12, to get that kind of value for a guy that's probably going to start. Jalen Strong was in round 11. Chris Hogan also in that same round in round 11. New England's got to have other guys to throw to besides Gronkowski, and I think Chris Hogan could be a guy who breaks through. So, those guys I think kind of were the ones that kind of stood out to me. Devin Funchess in round 10, we saw him come on pretty strong at the end of last season. He could be taking a step forward now in year 2. So those are kind of the guys that I looked at and said, yeah, those are pretty good picks. I kind of wanted to get Justin Forsett, who went in round 9. I was looking to get him, and he went a few picks before I had one, and I got my third running back. I got Jay Ajayi. But I would rather have Forsett there. But anyway, those were some of the guys that kind of made me say, oh, that's a good pick.
Before we let you go this morning, how can people connect with you if they want to pop some questions off the top of your head, see your new articles, whether it be baseball or football, anything else?
All right. So you can send them to fantasy.usatoday.com. We have that is our homepage, our landing page. And you can follow me on Twitter and ask me questions. I'm generally pretty accessible. I'm pretty a nice guy on Twitter. You don't get a whole lot of those people on social media, but I'll generally answer your questions and be pretty nice to you. I'm at Steve A. Gardner on Twitter. And you can also check us out, USA Today Fantasy on Facebook. I can answer some questions there, and we put a lot of our stuff up on Facebook as well.
All right, I'll back that up. Definitely a nice guy. Thanks for joining us this morning, Steve.
Appreciate it, guys. Always enjoy talking some fantasy football.
All right, before we get our next guest in here, let me tell you all about the all-new FanUp Network app. The guys over there have created a fantasy football resource that not only tracks teams and scores across multiple platforms, but also provides the latest player updates and injury news, all while saving you time. The app can be found for Google and Apple devices by simply searching keyword FanUp. That's FANUP. Now joining us is from Scout Fantasy, the fantasy executive, Mr. Corey Parson. How you doing today, man?
What's going on, fellas? Definitely feeling good. We're coming into the heat of fantasy football draft season, a great time of year, so it looks like we have some good breaking news to talk about also, so I'm definitely getting pumped up for the 2016 season.
Oh, most definitely. Why don't you go ahead and hit us with that breaking news, man? Dorial Green Beckham.
Yeah, I'm going through my Twitter feed. That's what fantasy analysts do. Stay on Twitter all day, arguing with each other about foolishness. But I'm going through my feed, and I actually do see some good information right here. We have a trade, the NFL trade that's always so great, with Dorial Green Beckham going to Philadelphia and becoming a Philadelphia Eagle, more or less. So now you look at the receiving core in Tennessee, Rishard Matthews, the rookie Tajay Sharp. Yeah, Sharp is going to be a player. He's going to be a guy that's going to be involved in the offense. We've seen in the preseason the skill set is dynamic. Marcus Mariota and him starting to hook up. Big preseason game. I believe that was Tyler Boyd. They were talking about may have had a kick. Oh, was that Sharp? They were talking about may have had a concussion. Well, everybody's healthy. Nobody's in the protocol. So, listen, still a late-round flyer because of the situation that this is still an offense in Tennessee that's going to be primarily very run-heavy. But you see they're trying to clear a path for the young fella. So definitely a guy that's going to come out of, he's a draftable fantasy asset right now, early guesses, I'm thinking double-digit rounds, probably 10 or 11 for Tajay Sharpe.
Yeah, and we on the flex here, we are housed by Dynasty Football Factory. And in those Dynasty Leagues, Sharp was already on the radar, but he's moving up with this news. The Titans did sign a veteran, so many seasons under his belt, Andre Johnson, in there. But Brad, as far as Sharp goes, he's on the radar in Dynasty Leagues, but do you like him in some redraft leagues now, maybe a 14th, 15th round flyer like Corey said?
Oh, definitely. I think he's a very good sleeper in late rounds in standards and maybe even PPR. 6'2", 200 pounds out of UMass. You know, runs up in a 4.55 40. So, I mean, you got to love the intangibles and his route running ability. And now with DGB going on to Philly, he definitely takes an uptick and is worth a late round sleeper, you know, draft pick.
Okay. Corey, let's get into the five rookie receivers you highlighted on your piece over at Scout Fantasy. And first on the list from the Giants, Sterling Shepard out of the University of Oklahoma. A lot of people are big on this guy. The Giants grabbed him in the second round of this year's draft, I do believe. Victor Cruz, obviously, he's always beat up and hurt. But the Giants just played their first preseason game a few days ago here. Odell Beckham and Victor Cruz, neither one played in that game. Sterling Shepard was looking good, and then he came up lame. Is the injury scaring you at all with Sterling Shepard?
Not right now. The latest news on Sterling Shepard is, you know, take a step back. No, not really, you know, they're using it as a situation of caution. Not really worried about the injury situation that he has right now. So you probably see him holding back a little bit in the upcoming workouts throughout the practice week, because this is a young man that they're going to need to have ready on the football field come week one. You know, the New York Giants running game is in flux. Obviously, Eli Manning is going to be one of the quarterbacks that fantasy owners are going to depend on and rely on this year, mainly because of that volume that he's going to bring. Odell Beckham Jr. can't catch all those passes. Sterling Sharp is going to come into a position where he's going to be starting on a high-powered offense, a fantasy-friendly offense from day one. McAdoo, you know what he likes to do, the three wide receiver set. So he's a player right now in the latest Scout Fantasy Online Championship Draft. He went in round five. So definitely the hype is building for this first-year player, and I think it's rightfully so. He'll be a guy that I'll have some exposure to this upcoming season in my redraft leagues.
Oh, no doubt. And Corey brought up McAdoo's West Coast offense, if you will. Brad, you like Sterling Shepard as a fifth-round player in redraft leagues?
Fifth might be a little soon, but the way his ADP is climbing, you might have to take him in the fifth round to get him. Sixth or seventh would be ideal for me. I'm very high on Sterling Shepard, and you got to love the way he came out in his first preseason game, making a ridiculous diving catch, already looking like, you know, a stud as a rookie wide receiver. So fifth round might be a little much, but that may be where you have to take him to get him.
What I think what the problem is going to be, fellas, especially in PPR formats, these wide receivers are going to get pushed up the board. So when the draft starts and, you know, your first two rounds, 14, 16 wide receivers go off the board, then you start to get the rookies and the mid-level guys begin to push up the board. PPR leagues, redraft, everybody is wide receiver heavy right now. So the value is at running back, but ever since we saw what happened with Odell Beckham Jr. in the great rookie class from a couple years ago, young wide receivers are pushing up fantasy draft boards, so that's kind of where things stand right now. It's not ideal that we pay this type of price for this kind of player, first-year player, but Eli Manning threw the ball 618 times last season. He'll throw it another 600 this year, so this is a 100-target wide receiver right here easily.
I'm not going to undersell that. I definitely see Shepard possibly getting into that 100-target range. Maybe this is wishful thinking. I've always kind of liked Victor Cruz, you know, from a few years ago, putting up some big numbers. I'm hoping he stays healthy, and I think with the Giants taking it light on him. Eli Manning in that offense, though, I think he could definitely make three wide receivers viable in even some standard format leagues. Let's move right on down. And Corey Coleman was the first wide receiver off the NFL draft board back in the spring. Corey, why should we like Corey Coleman with maybe a mixed-up QB situation there in Cleveland?
Yeah, that's the thing about it. The talent is real. He's looked well in camp. Obviously, he gets the first full week of the season to be the team's wide receiver one while Josh Gordon tries to get his road to the NFL back, and hopefully he's successful with that. But he's got that time. He's in camp right now. He's practicing. Everything is looking fine. Dynamic young playmaker that he is. The problem is, and we keep harking back to it, listen, the latest Scout Fantasy Draft, he goes in the sixth round. a young wide receiver pushing up a draft board. It's going to have opportunities. But the quarterback is Robert Griffin. Not RG3, Robert Griffin. And Robert Griffin is a different guy than RG3. We haven't seen RG3 in years now. And although he's been named the starter, he is still people out there rumbling, saying that he is struggling in camp. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But, you know, we saw Pierre Garçon in Washington. We saw DeSean Jackson. These guys were consistently complaining about the play of Robert Griffin. Hopefully that does not translate to the same situation in Cleveland and slows down this young man's fantasy season in Corey Coleman.
Yeah, sure thing. And Brad, I actually think that with the I'm not surprised by the decision that Robert Griffin's going to be the starting quarterback there in Cleveland. But if McCown was the guy, I think I'd be higher on Coleman, at least for 2016. You agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Robert Griffin really hasn't been, you know, himself since he hurt his knee back a couple years ago. So they're hoping that he can be that, you know, fantasy superstar that he was in his rookie season. I think that's why Cleveland is really giving him the shot. But, yeah, what it does for Corey Coleman's fantasy value, I think it's going to make him very inconsistent, because I think that offense as a whole is going to be inconsistent under RG3 or, you know, now Robert Griffin. but Corey Coleman, just from his intangibles, you know, metric, 5'11", 195 out of Baylor, he's got blazing speed and a 41.5-inch vertical. I mean, he's a physical specimen, so as long as he can hold on to the ball, I think, you know, and if they have a consistent, you know, quarterback back there, hopefully McCown, I think he's in line for a good season among rookies.
All right, Corey, moving right along here to Minnesota and Laquon Treadwell. Now, what I'm hearing around there is that Stephon Diggs is probably the number one right now. I mean, Charles Johnson making some noise. I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson, he's probably –
is over.
Special teams at this point. But, you know, with Laquon Treadwell, what do you think he can do with Teddy Bridgewater in that offense and Adrian Peterson still the feature of it?
And that's exactly the key that you're hitting on. Adrian Peterson is the feature player in this offense. We saw Diggs pop for a moment last year. Fair the Turtle, University of Maryland. We've seen Charles Johnson pop in that offense the year before last. He was disgraceful last year. But right now, he looks like the number one target. Treadwell, great talent. The situation, though, scares me, because that is Adrian Peterson's offense. That is turn around, hand the football to Adrian Peterson, you know, 20, 25 times a football game. You look at Teddy Bridgewater's attempts his passing attempts last season. He was one of the guys, you know, that were, you know, among the lowest in the NFL. So how many opportunities are going to be there for Laquon Treadwell to show off his talent? I don't know if he's a guy that's really going to be on my board, especially in scout fantasy drafts. Right now he's going into that 8 or 9 range. So Laquon Treadwell, the talent could be real. You just want to see North Turner, you know, kind of unleash Teddy Bridgewater, and let's see what he can really do before I spend that kind of draft pick on a rookie wide receiver.
Sure. Hey, Brad, is that Marcus Colston I see in New Orleans?
a younger reincarnated version, to be sure.
Yeah, the next guy on Corey's list in this piece over Scout Fantasy is Michael Thomas, rookie out of Ohio State, coming in 6'3", somewhere between 210 and 215 pounds. Who really cares? This guy's got all the physicality, all the talent in the world. I love him with Drew Brees, and I'm going to go ahead and say I think Michael Thomas will be the most productive rookie wide receiver in 2016. Am I off my rocker, Corey?
Listen, him and Sterling Shepard, they definitely have the opportunity. They're playing in big-time, fantasy-friendly, high-passing offenses. This is a kid that comes in. They're using him in camp already. They spread the ball around a lot. Obviously, Brandon Cooks is the one on that team. He's undoubtedly the number one wide receiver option. You see how they use a tight end, bringing Kobe Fleener in. So I think his market share is lower than a Sterling Shepard. But I still do like him. Listen, it's that offense. It's 600 passing attempts. He's going to be a guy that's going to be a playmaker. He's going to be a guy that's going to be involved. So, you know, I'm definitely liking where he's going right now. But, fellas, who would you rather have, Willie Snead or Michael Thomas?
Oh, Corey, you jumped in front of me. That was the exact question I was about to ask the two of you. So I'll just go ahead and say I like Snead in the first maybe – 2 or 3 weeks. I actually think Drew Brees is going to throw that ball around so much that, especially in some deeper, maybe 14, 16 team leagues, all these guys could be viable. But as far as Michael Thomas, I really don't think double-digit touchdowns is out of the question. What do you say, Brad?
Oh, most definitely not. I mean, that offense is explosive. So, honestly, out of the two, I don't know. Michael Thomas comes in at number 48 in my wide receiver rankings, and Willie Snead is right behind him at 49. So, I'm not sure. I feel like, you know, as explosive as that Saints offense is, there's just a lot of different receiving options, and it's going to be hard to get consistent production from one wide receiver. I feel like 1 week Michael Thomas is going to have a really big week. The next week it could be Snead. Then Cooks takes everything the next week and goes for 3 touchdowns. I mean, it's going to be hard to predict, I feel like. You gotta love what that all those weapons does for Breeze's value at his, you know, older age. Still, I think he's going to be a great value at quarterback this year. But as far as the targets go, it's kind of a, you know, take your pick. Definitely in dynasty and keeper leagues, you're looking at Michael Thomas because, you know, he's a rookie. But I'm honestly not sure. It's a toss up.
Kobe Fleener or Michael Thomas? Who's going to catch more touchdowns?
That's interesting right there. But I put it like this. I'm going to go with Kobe Fleener. They went and paid the price, got him in the offseason. Ben Watson, a career journeyman at 34 years old, goes to New Orleans and have a career year. They utilize the tight end in that offense. The tight end plays a key role in that offense. We didn't get what we expected with Spiller out of the backfield last season. That work went to the tight end. They like to get the ball up the seams to the tight end. We've seen Jeremy Shockey. We've seen Jimmy Graham. It's all been done before. So I'm gonna go Kobe Fleener on this one. Listen, I love the young rookie wide receiver, but I think it's a lot of mouths to feed in that offense. I think he has a lot of big playability, but I think that Kobe Fleener scores more touchdowns.
All right, man. And Brad and myself here, down here in Atlanta, GA, we are definitely big college football fans. And I'm a Georgia Tech fan first and foremost. I bleed the white and gold. But
Tech, wide receivers came out of Tech. A lot of good wide receivers came out of Tech.
Oh, sure thing. Calvin Johnson. Yep. That's my boy right there, man.
Hey, baby.
But I've always enjoyed watching the Horned Frogs of TCU's offense light it up. Trevone Boykin there the last few years, and his number one guy, Josh Doctson, wraps up your list on this piece on Scout Fantasy. This guy's a beast. I mean, I think he's just got a little more competition with, you know, the Garcons, Deshaun Jacksons, even a Jamison Crowder, and, of course, the tight end Jordan Reed. Can Doctson carve out a role with Kirk Cousins and company this season?
He's got to get on the field first. Every time we hear news out of Washington and on Josh Doctson, it's injury related.
Yep.
OTAs, training camp, way behind the rest of the team. You know, so you start right there. The guy's got to get on the field. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to push himself. This is different. This is not college football. This is the NFL. So he's got to push himself to get on the field and get out there and get the reps that he needs, you know, to be successful in this upcoming season. That's number one. Number two, like you said, his mouths to feed out there. We saw what Kirk Cousins did with Jordan Reed last year. He loves him. This is a contract year for Deshaun Jackson. So Meshaun Jackson is going to show up each and every Sunday ready to go. He's going to need his market share. Not to mention you still got Garcon in the mix. And the guy I like the most out of the situation, the slot receiver, the young man, second-year player from Duke, and Jamison Crowder. With that being said, Doctson's not on my draft board at all, period. You know what I mean? Dynasty, sure, maybe. I take him in dynasty leagues. As far as redrafts for the 2016 season, he's not on my board. I just don't see where he's going to make an impact. But what scares me the most, and I'm telling fantasy owners this all the time, I'm looking at drafts, latest scout fantasy draft, 8th-round pick, Josh Doctson. Jamison Crowder goes in the 10th. Pierre Garcon goes in the 9th. You know, I'm like, why is he being drafted ahead of guys who have done it? Crowder has done it. We saw Crowder impress and pop at times last season. Pierre Garcon, his floor is extremely high. Now, his ceiling is extremely low, but you know you're going to get a 9-11 point guy a game in PPR leagues. And Josh Doctson, who cannot get on the field, is being drafted over him. That is a tremendous mistake, fantasy owners, and that needs to change.
Yep, buying the hype machine. Okay, Brad, we got Garcon, we got Jackson, we got Crowder, we got Reed, we got, you know, anybody and everybody there in Washington ahead of Doctson. You like him at all this season?
Not in redraft formats. I couldn't agree more with Corey. I have him in our dynasty league, but you know I'm going to be sitting on him waiting. I think for him to get on the field and have any kind of fantasy value this year, it's going to take an injury to DeSean Jackson or Pierre Garçon for him to have any kind of fantasy value and relevance this year. So I am on board with the opinion that Corey has.
Sure, and he might be the fifth or sixth guy down. I actually even, and Brad, you know this, I'm big on Chris Thompson, maybe the third down back out of the backfield. And I know you like Keith Marshall from UGA. Corey, how many injuries is it going to take for Doxson to even be relevant this season?
Oh, boy. I always build soft tissue injury, hamstring, something like that, into DeSean Jackson's game. You know, Jordan Reed has had, in 5 years, he's had five concussions. Twice those concussions have placed him on the season-ending IR. So, yes, there could be some opportunity in a pass-friendly offense. I'd rather pay a late round or a waiver wire price because you push the kid on your team, you're going to cut him. And he could get hot. He could get a chance around week five, week six, and then you got to go spend fab bucks for him. That's why he's kind of a guy that's not on my board, a headache. I don't want to have something I leave out there. That's not, you're not going to sleep well on a Saturday night if you're worried about starting Josh Doxson on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, sure. Okay. And let's move off your article here a little bit and maybe a couple other wide receivers, you know, rookie wide receivers that need some attention. How about Will Fuller out in Houston?
Jalen Strong. Second year wide receiver, Jalen Strong. The reports coming out of Houston camp, he is the most improved player in the camp. Some even saying maybe the most improved player in the NFL this year. He made a tremendous jump going into his second season. So I think that Jalen Strong fights off Will Fuller. I think we look at Fuller more as a late round flyer, if that. Definitely a guy more fit for dynasty formats rather than your PPR redrafts.
Okay, Brad, I'm interested to get both of you guys' takes on which one of you is higher on Tyler Boyd. What's the highest round you'd spend a redraft pick on him, Brad?
He's got to be a late round, probably 13, 14 round, probably for me.
You higher or lower than that, Corey, on Tyler Boyd?
I'd probably go a round or two higher than that, maybe the 11, 12-round range. I'm looking at, you know, a rookie that's going to have to produce right away. Andy Dalton, big arm, but you know A.J. Green is going to be the guy in that offense. But there is going to be opportunities for him. He's looked very good in camp so far. If I can get him as a wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5 in that range in a 10, 11 round, I'm probably more bullish on him than a lot of people would be.
No love for Brandon LaFell over?
I mean, listen, you know what I'm saying? Brandon LaFell is a ham sandwich, put it like that.
Brandon LaFell.
There you go right there. And I hate to say it because I know him, but worked with Brandon in the past, you know, over, you know, doing coming on shows and stuff like that. Always been a very nice guy to work with and stuff like that with the media. But as far as what he's doing on the football field, he had that one big season in New England.
Yeah.
And it's kind of was like, it's really no fantasy value there. Tyler Boyd is a guy that's going to be lining up outside on the other side of A.J. Green this season.
Yeah, I've always kind of liked Brandon LaFell in the past. I mean, he looked like he had a lot of talent, and Tom Brady was finally the right quarterback, and he's had his moments but can't stay on the field. And I think some of that injury issues have led to some inconsistencies and never really progressed to what he could become. I'm not worried about him blocking Tyler Boyd, and Eifert's a big health question mark himself. Brad, you got a cap for us on maybe what Boyd can do in his first season? Can he sniff 1,000 yards?
Oh, I think he's definitely got a chance to. I mean, he's got the, you know, line to good work early, I think, especially, you know, with Eifert being out. Those targets have got to go somewhere, and they can't all go to A.J. Green and Giovanni Bernard. So there's definitely a chance that he could sniff 1,000 yards. I probably have him projected more in the 650 to 750 range. But, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if he had 1,000 yards. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, a thousand is tough. That means Dalton's probably going to have to throw for about 4,200. I don't know if that's his game. It's going to be interesting to see what the offense does this year. Listen, Dalton was on pace to have his best season last year. Andy Dalton's a late-round quarterback. I don't mind, you know, a dollar make you holler late in the game. put Andy Dalton on your team. I definitely don't have a problem with that. But if Andy Dalton gets to that 4,500-yard range, then I think we do see a 1,000-yard season from Tyler Boyd.
All right, Corey, one more here, man. I got a few other rookies in my mind, but I'm interested to see, off the top of your head, is there any other rookie wide receivers around this league we should be looking at?
I think the guys that we're talking about, you know, a week ago I'd have told you, keep an eye on this kid in Tennessee, Tajay Sharpe. A week later, it's kind of like, no, we know about him. He's clearly on the radar right now. Yep. So I think that we're in a situation where the way rosters are setting up and shaking up, when it comes to fantasy value, I think we kind of know who the guys are that we can depend on. But what I'm finding interesting is a lot of second-year wide receivers are becoming guys that are starting to have the value now. Philip Dorsett, I think, is a guy you can get at a value. Sammy Coates, very interesting situation in a high-powered family fantasy-friendly offense. Jalen Strong, another guy that is starting to get some name. His name is getting spoken up now, and he's getting talked up as a player that can possibly, you know, I don't want to really say break out, but a player that can exceed fantasy value this season. So while the rookies are pushing up the board, I think we're starting to see some value come in with those second-year guys. And, you know, a guy like Coates, listen, he could be a game-changer. In that offense, no Marcus Wheaton, no Martavius Bryant. If Marcus Wheaton, you know, does Marcus Wheaton-type things and fail, even though I'm banking. Let me tell you something. I'm very, very high on Wheaton this year to come in there, get that number two job, hold it down, and fight Coates off. But if he can't happen, Coates is in line for a big season. So I'm looking at second-year wide receivers is where the value lies in fantasy.
Scout Fantasy, Corey Parsons. Good stuff, man. Where can the people connect with you if they want to bounce some questions your way or anything else?
Bouncing questions my way on Twitter is really not going to get you anywhere because that's a premium service nowadays. But no, definitely Scout Fantasy, the Scout Fantasy forums. Be over there, hop in there, answering questions in there. You know, be doing some Twitter takeovers for Scout Fantasy. So definitely follow their Twitter at Scout Fantasy. You can catch me, at the Fantasy Exec. And definitely, listen, the URL to get involved is play.scout.com. Once again, that's play.scout.com. The URL to get involved, to beat the Fantasy Exec League, is in the lobby right now. Still 6 teams left to be filled. That's going to be coming up one night in September, I believe September 3rd, a week before the season starts. So definitely plenty of time to get out there, get involved. And, you know, we got leagues to win this year, fellas, so let's definitely get that done.
All right, everybody, you heard it there. You want to take your shot at the Fantasy Executive, you can get it at Scout Fantasy, but I'm just going to go ahead and say, I don't like your chances. All right, Corey, you have a good one, man. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks a lot, fellas. Enjoy.
All right, well, that'll about do it for this episode of The Flex. As always, please be sure to hit us up with any comments, criticisms, or questions over on Twitter at Fantasy Flex Pod. You can now check out the Fantasy Flex at our new home, DynastyFootballFactory.com. Or if you prefer, all episodes can be found on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, or Blog Talk Radio. Until Friday, when we'll be joined by Andrew Mills of the Fantasy Plays Podcast and Alex Acton of Broncos Wire. I'm Nate. That's Brad.
Flex Twin Powers activate.